Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Yitzchak Basser. Maseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
Holding in Maseches Nedarim, Daf Yud Aleph. So the Gemara here on the top of Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, is going explaining of the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yudim and Beis. The Mishnah there says that Ha'omer L'chulin Sha'ichalach, if someone says that what I eat from you should be not chulin, the Gemara says what lachulin means loichulin, that what I eat from you should not be chulin, that is a valid form of a neder. And the Gemara explains the reason why it's a good neder is because when he says that what I eat from you should not be chulin, it's as if he said that rather it should be a carbon, and it's as if he said that what I eat from you should be a carbon, which is a valid way of saying a neder. So now the Gemara's medayik, that whether or not we say l'chulin, this implication that what I eat from you should not be chulin, if that infers that it should be a carbon, depends on machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether we say michlal lav atashmeihain. The Gemara says that Rabbi Meir holds that we do not say michlal lav atashmeihain. So even if I say that what I eat from you should not be chulin, we have no right to go ahead and infer from there that what I eat from you should be a carbon. And therefore, the Gemara says, our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Meir. Rather, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that we say michlal lav atashmeihain. When I say that something is not one way, we can infer that it is the other way. So therefore, in our Mishnah, when I say that what I eat from you should not be chulin, we're able to infer from there that what I eat from you should be a carbon. That is how the Gemara explains our Mishnah, that it depends on the machlekes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara over here, so it brings down as a source for this machlekes, this idea that there's a machlekes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether we say mechlalav atashamehein, the Gemara brings down two distinct mishnayis to infer that there's such a machlekes. The Gemara brings down one mishnah as a source for Rabbi Meir's shita, and the Gemara infers another mishnah, which is the source of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara proves that Rabbi Meir holds that we don't say Michlal Lav Atashmeihain from a Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin, and the Mishnah there simply says that Rabbi Meir says Kol Tnai She'enoi Ketnai Bnei God of Nei Reuven Enoi Tnai, that one of the halachas a person has to have a valid Tnai is that it has to be similar to the Tnai of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. And what the Mishnah means is that regarding the Tnai and Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, the Pasuk speaks out that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made this Tnai with Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, the Pasuk says in Parashas Matos, Vayomer Moshe Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Im Yavru Bnei God of Bnei Reuven Itchem as a Yarden, if Bnei God and Bnei Reuven fulfill their end of the deal, so then he says, V'nesatim lemes Eretz HaGilad L'Achuza, you should give them Eretz Gilad to be their inheritance. They were asking for Eretz Gilad, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, if they keep their end of the deal, you should give it to them. And now Moshe Rabbeinu did not end off at that point. Rather, he spoke out the flip side of this. V'im lo yavru chalutzim itchem, if they do not keep their end of the deal, they do not go with you to Eretz Yisrael to help you conquer it. So then, v'noichazu b'seichem be'eretz Kanaan, they revert back to their original Yerusha, which should be in Eretz Kanaan. And so he spoke out. Moshe Rabbeinu had to speak out both sides. So Meir says that any Tnai which is not like similar to this Tnai in which we speak out both Tzadim, it's not a Tnai. So the Gemara infers from there, the Meir holds, we do not say Mechlal Lav Atashamehein. If a person speaks out one side, then we cannot infer the other side. And therefore in the Mishnah, if a person were to say that Loi Chulin, if that what I eat from you is not chulin, we have no right to infer. There's no implication that he's saying that it's a carbon, and therefore it's not a valid lashon of a neder. On the flip side of this, the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir Yehuda holds that we do say mechlal lav atashamehein. The Gemara's source for that, the Rishonim speak out, the Ran speaks this out, is a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah is in Daf Gittin, Daf Mem Vavam and Beis. The Mishnah is discussing someone that divorces his wife because he thinks she's an islandess. So The Mishnah, the Gemara says, the Mishnah is talking that the time that he's Megarish his wife, he gives her a get, and he says that I'm being Megarish you because you're an islandess. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yehuda as saying that if someone does that, we never permit him to remarry this lady ever. And the Gemara explains the reason is because we're concerned that if let's say it turns out that she's not an islandess, she goes ahead, she marries someone else, and then she bears children. So it comes out that retroactively we understand she was not an islandess. So therefore, there's a very big distinct danger over here that maybe the husband will turn around and say that this that I spoke out, that I'm only being megarish you, but I'm only divorcing you because you're an islandess. Well, you're not an islandess. So therefore, he will come to annul the gerushin. He'll say that the gerushin is not valid. And then it comes out that she's also on her second husband, and there's a problem with her children. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that what we do is we tell him that if you're megarisher because she's an islandess, you're never permitted again to marry her. And since he knew at the time of that he was megarisher that whether or not she's an islandess, this will be that he's never marrying her again. So that stops him from being able to go and annul this gerushin. That is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So the Gemara says over there that Rabbi Meir argues on this, and the reason is because Rabbi Meir holds that Mechlal Lav Iyata Shemeihein. In other words, the whole Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why he's concerned that the person will be able to annul the Gerushin is because he said that when I said that I'm being Megarish you because you're an islandess, there's an implication that if you're not an islandess, I am not going to megarish you. So therefore, that's a concern we have to address, and we address it by saying he can't remarry her forever. However, according to a mayor, the fact that he said that I'm being megarish you, I'm divorcing you because you're an islandess, that will not enable him to annul this gerushin, because he did not speak out explicitly that if you're not an islandess, I'm not being megarish you. So therefore, according to Meir, there's no reason to prevent him from remarrying this lady, because anyways, he's unable to annul the gerushin because he did not speak out that if she's not an islandess, he is not divorcing her. So therefore, that is the makar that our Gemara means that brings down for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that we say Mechlal Lav Ata Shemeihein. If a person only speaks out one side, we are able to infer the other side. So that is the Gemara, and the Gemara says that therefore our Mishnah, which implies that we do say Mechlal Lav Ata Shemeihein, because when we say that Masha Eichelach is Loi Chulin, what I eat from you is not Chulin, so then that implies that it's a carbon. So therefore the Mishnah says our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Meir. Now, on the surface, this Gemara seems simple enough. However, there are a lot of questions here that the Mefarshim are oimed on, and based on this, it really brings to a much clearer Havana, a much deeper Havana, and a much more comprehensive explanation of the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the first question I wanted to address is this is a question Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and other people address, is that there's a halacha by nedarim that we say that yesh yad l'neder. Now, if a person says a yad muchachas, for example, let's say there's a nazir here, and I say ehei, I just say I will be. So the din is that since there's a nazir here, so then we understand, we can infer that what I mean to say is ehei nazir, I will be a nazir. And therefore, that is a valid lashon. We learned the Gemara says a limud, that is a valid way of making a neder, because yad neder can neder. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and we'll see other Achronim also ask, that over here, it's true that in Kol HaTorah Kula, we know that Meir holds that we don't say Mechlal Lav Ata Shemeihein. A person has to explicitly speak out both sides of what he means. But regarding Nedarim, why don't we say that at least it's a Yad? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman asked that, how could it be worse if I just say the word Ehei, I am? How could that be less of an implication of Ehei Nazir, that I will be a Nazir, to when I say that what I eat from you is not Chulin? If anything, it would seem to that when I say it's not Chulin, that I eat from you is not Chulin, that the implication that it's a carbon is a much clearer implication than someone who just says the word Ehei, and we understand he means Ehei Nazir. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's question. So Rav Shlomo Zalman answers this question by saying a very fundamental yisoid in the halacha of yadis. Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that a yad, when we talk about a yad for a neder, a yad means that I said a partial lashon, and I did not, a partial word expression, but I did not complete what I'm trying to say. For example, like this case of a hey, I say one word, I say a hey, and we fill the word in a hey nazir for you. That's what that is a yad. However, over here, the person made a complete statement about what he intends. He said that what I eat from you should not be chulin. So I said the complete statement. There's nothing to fill out his lashon. So therefore, there's no halacha of yadis. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman seems to mean is that the idea of a yad is a handle. So a handle means that I'm saying a part. The handle is, it's a part of the kli, that by holding on to that, it's as if I'm holding on to the whole kli. But that only works if I said that something that there's a part of an expression, a partial expression. But when I say a complete expression, for example, in our case in our Mishnah, when I said a complete expression, then there's no concept of a yad, and we're not able to fill what he's saying. That is Rav Shlomo Zalman's answer to this question. And Mitzvah Hashem, later on we'll see another mahalach to answer this question. Now, the Achrenim over here discuss a very basic issue in the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of saying Mechlal Avat Hashem Eihein. The question is, when Rabbi Meir says that we don't say Mechlal Avat Hashem Eihein, is that because he does not make this inference? In other words, he holds there's no umdana, there's no assumption that when a person says one side, he means to infer that the flip side is also true. In other words, is it a question of umdana? Or perhaps it's a question of hilchas tanaim. In other words, there's a halacha in hilchas tanaim. In other words, we really understand what the person means to say. But there's a gzeis hakosuv in hilchas tanaim that we see from the fact that the Moshe Rabbeinu had to speak out both sides. We see that in hilchas tanaim, there's a halacha that a person has to speak out both sides. And even though we understand what he really means to say, we don't go based on our understanding. Rather, we have to speak out both sides of the tanai. That is a very basic question we have to understand in Rabbi Meir. Now, both sides of this issue are both either side that will say, at first glance, seems to be difficult from our Gemara. Because our Gemara is not discussing at all halachas of Tanayim, it's just discussing someone who makes a neder. So, if we're going to say that Rabbi Meir is just saying a halacha in Hilchos Tanayim, so then why is it relevant to our Mishnah? It's true that there's a Gzeis HaKosuv that this is not a Tanai, but over here, all we need to do is to understand what he's trying to say, and clearly we understand when he says that L'chulin Masha'ichalach, that what I eat from you should not be chulin, we clearly understand he means to say a carbon, so why should not be a valid neder? And so that's if we say that Rabbi Meir is saying a halach in Hilchos Tanayim. But the truth is, even if we say the other side, that there's an umdana that when a person says one side, he does not mean the other side, our Gemara still is quite difficult. First of all, the Gemara, when it proves Rabbi Meir's Shita, the only thing the Gemara proves it from is from the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir says that kol tanai she'eino ketanai b'nei godov ne ruvein eino tanai. If there's a halacha, if there's an understanding that when a person says one side, we cannot infer from there that he means the other side, so why does Rabbi Meir have to invoke the idea of kol tanai she'enu ketanai b'nei godov ne ruvein enu tanai? It's not relevant at all. Rabbi Meir should simply say that we don't say michlala avat shemayin. Why does he discuss the concept of tanayim of ne godov ne ruvein? And furthermore, what needs to be understood over here is that the Ran over here, he quotes the Gemara in Masechta Shu'as Daf Lamed Vav, that says that according to Meir, this that we don't say Mechlal Av At Shemayhein is only pertaining to things that have to do with Mamanus. But something that has to do with Isser, so then Meir also agrees that we say Mechlal Av At Shemayhein. So if it's a din, if we're going to say that it's just a din in Umdana, the Rebbe Meir holds that we can't make an implication, we can't infer the other side, then what's the difference between Mammon and Isser? This would seem to indicate that it's a halacha in Hilchas Tanayim, and therefore we can't learn from Isser to Tanayim that have to the Torah is talking about, which has to do with Mammon. But if we're going to say that it's a din in Umdina, then what does it have to do with the halacha of why is Mammon any different than Isser? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovitz Shurim addresses our sugya based on this question. Rabbi Chanan in Seches Basra, he discusses over there that he brings down a bunch of Rishonim that you see from those Rishonim that this that we don't say Mechlal Ava Teshvei Hein is just the din in Hilchas Traim. It's nothing to do with the Umdana. There certainly isn't Umdana, even according to Rabbi Meir. But it's a halach in Dinei Tanayim that you don't say Mechlal Ava Teshmei Hein. He brings like this from the Baal Amar, and he brings down from a Magid Mishnah like that. So Rabbi Chanan asks the Akasha from our Sugya, that our Sugya brings down that according to Rabbi Meir, even by Nedarim, which has nothing to do with Hilchas Tanayim, we still say the concept of Mechlal Ava Teshmei Hein. So Rabbi Chanan brings down that he asked this question to his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. And he says that Reb Chaim answered him that the klal of Mechlal Ava Teshmei Hein is nothing to do with an umdana. It's true, it's not a question of umdana. Reb Meir agrees that we certainly understand that he means to say the other side of what he's saying, but rather it's a question of Lashon, of Hilchas Lashon. In other words, the way Reb Chaim explains the Machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda is, when a person says one side and implies the other side, is it as if he spoke out both sides or not? So for example, if a person says loy chulin, so is it nichlal in the lashon of loy chulin explicitly the word carbon or not? So according to Rabbi Meir, that it's not nichlal in the lashon. In other words, we may understand that's what he means, but it's not as if he said it. So then it's lacking. It's a problem of Hilchas Tanayim, because the din by Tanai is that I have to speak out both sides of the Tanai. So according to Meir, since I only spoke out one side and I didn't speak out the other side, so therefore it would not be a valid Tanai. Mashin came according to Behuda, when I say one side of the Tanai, it's as if I said the other side too. So then even in Hilchas Tanayim, and also Behuda also agrees in the Tanai, I have to speak out both sides. But from the fact that I spoke out one side, since it's as if I spoke out the other side, so it's as if I spoke out both sides of the Tanai. That is how Reb Chaim explains the Machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. And based on that, Reb Chaim says that our sugi in Nedarim is very easy to understand. Because in Nedarim, there's a halacha that you need a bitui sasayim. I have to express explicitly my nether. So therefore, it's very good what the Gemara is saying, that the concept of Mechlal Lav Atashmei Hein is relevant to making a nether. Because since I have to speak out, it's not enough that I just imply a nether. I have to actually have a bitui sasayim of my nether. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, when I say chulin, loy chulin, mashay chalach, we may understand that what I eat from you should be a carbon, but since I didn't say it, I did not make a nether. Mashen Kain, according to Yehuda, that when I speak out the side of one side, we understand the other side. When I speak out loy chulin, when I speak out that it's not kemi chulin, it's as if I said carbon. So therefore, I have a valid lashon of a nether. There's a bitur sasayim that I'm saying that if I'm going to eat from you, should be of a din carbon. That is Reb Chaim's explanation of the sugya. Now, Reb Chaim's mahalach is a very geshmaka mahalach, but you see in the Ran that he did not learn like Reb Chaim. Because, like we said before, the Ran asks on our Gemara that how could the Gemara say that according to Rabbi Meir, we say Mechlalav Iyatoshamei Hein, that we don't see from one side, we can't infer the other side. The Gemara says that that's only, that Rabbi Meir only says Mechlalav Iyatoshamei Hein only by Inyanei Mammon, only things pertaining to Mammonis. However, something that pertains to Isser, the Gemara says, we do not say, even according to Meir, agrees that we don't say Mechlalav Iyatoshamei Hein, rather, if one person speaks out one side, they mean the other side too. So the Ran says, so how could the Gemara compare Nedarim to Tanayim, to Tanayim which has to do with Mammon? So the Ran answers that a nether also has to do with Mammon, since a nether affects Mammon, since a nether is an Isser Heftza, so it affects Mammon. So therefore, Rav Meir holds also by a nether that we say that we say mechlalav yatzshmei hein, and therefore in our Mishnah the Gemara says the Mishnah can't go according to Rabbi Meir. Now it should come out according to the Ran Chiddush that what will be, let's say, by shvua, a person says a shvua in a manner of that would have to be mechlalav yatzshmei hein. For example, what would happen if a person says that if I sleep today, then this kikar should not be usur upon me with a shvua tomorrow. So is that a valid shvua according to Rav Meir or not? So it comes out according to the Ran that the whole reason why Rav Meir holds Michlalav, we don't say Hein, is because neder has to do with Mammon. But a shvua that's an Isser Gavra, a shvua that has nothing to do with Mammon. So therefore it should come out that Rav Meir agrees that if I say shvua in a manner of Michlalav Tishmei Hein, it's a valid shvua. And really, this is Mefurish in the Ran later on in Daf Tzayin and Aleph. The Mishnah over there says that if someone says loy shvua loy oichalach, if someone says that I'm not making a shvua, what I don't eat from you, that is a valid lashon of shvua. And it's Mefur over there in the Gemara that Mishnah is going even according to Meir. So the Ran asks that Rav Meir holds that we don't say mechlalav atishmei hein. So how could the Gemara say that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir? So the Ran answers this Teretz Mamish, that when does Rabbi Meir say that we don't say mechlalav atishmei hein? That's if there's something that has to do with Mammon. But so something like Shua, which is purely Isser, it has nothing to do with Mammon, then Rav Meir agrees that we say Mechlalav Atashmei Hein. Now, that's the Ran Shita. So this Lachari you see very clearly not like Rav Chaim. Because according to Rav Chaim says in Yisoid that according to Rav Meir, we say that the fundamental Machlaikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is whether on the side of Lav, it's as if I said a Lashon of Hein. If that's the machlekes, so then what's the difference between mamonis and isser? If to the extent that by nedarim there's a din that I need a bitui sasayim, so then I should always need a bitui sasayim. And the same thing with a shvua. If according to a mayor, it's not as if saying one side is not as if I said the other side. So even by a shvua, if I said one side, so it should be that I didn't say the other side. So why is it that the Ran says that by a shvua, since it's a isser that has nothing to do with mammon, then we say mechlalav atosh. We don't say mechlalav atosh mehein, even in Rabbi Meir. Now the Stipler in Kilis Yaakov in Simi Yud Aleph Ayis Beis, he also learns al derech Reb Chaim that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, whether we say mechlalav atosh mehein, is a shaila of whether it's as if I said it knows whether it's a chesaron in the lashon or not. But the way the Stipel learns, it's not. You can even explain this into the Ran. The Stipel learns that this is a machlekes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. If you say mechlal lava tishmei hein, it's not machlekes in svara. If we think this is it's nichal and lashon, or in svara it's not nichal and lashon. Rather, he learns. The Stipel learns in Rav Meir that there's a gzeis a kosuv that we learn from Tanai Bnei God of Nei Reuven that we don't say. So it's not a svar, it's a kosov. So based on this, the Stipler answers the kasha that we asked earlier from Shlomo Zalman. That he asked that according to Meir, why is it that by Nedarim, even though Meir in the rest of the Torah holds that we don't say Mechlal Avat Tishmei Hein, why is it that by Nedarim we don't say it? Since by a Neder we have Xeris Akosuv that it works Midin Yad, so let's say that when he says Mechlal Lav, it's not worse than saying every Yad. Mashallah said Ehei. So why is it that Ehei, we fill in his words to mean Ehei Nazir, but by Loichulin, we don't fill in his word to say Ela Karbon. So the Stipler answers based on this aside that the whole reason why we don't say it's called, but that we don't say by Mechlalav Atashmei Hein, we don't say that is not because it's a svara, but rather there's a special gzeis kosuv not to say it. So if there's such a gzeis kosuv, so it's not even going to work mitam yad. There's a gzeis kosuv stopping us from making the inference of mechlalav atashmei hein. That is the approach of the Stipler in the sugya, and based on that, we can understand the Ran too in our sugya. That the Ran says there's a that the question of whether we say Mechlala v'atishmeihen depends on whether it's Mammon or it's Isser. So we ask that if it's a din in Lashon, if it's a question of Lashon, whether it's as if when I say one side, it's as if I said the other side, what's the difference if it's Mammon and Isser? And the answer according to Stipler is very simple. That the whole reason why we don't say Mechlalav Toshamei Hain is not in Svar, rather it's Exeris HaKosov we learn from Tanayim. What do we learn from Exeris HaKosov? We only learn things that have to do with Mammon, just like the Tanayim Bnei God and Bnei Rubin is a Shail of Mammon and not a Shail of Isser. So therefore, we could clearly understand why it is that, for example, by Shvua, which is a matter of Isser, then even Rabbi Meir will hold the Mechlalav Atashamehain. So Nuinyan, the Gemara and Daf Yud Alf and Beis, brings down a brisa that says, Chulin Hachulin Kichulin Shaloi Oichaloch is Mutter. If a person says that what I don't eat from you should be Chulin, it's Mutter, there's no neder over there. And the Gemara explains that even though it's meduyik from his lashon, we can infer from what he's saying that what I do eat from you should be a karban, it's still not a valid lashon for neder. And the Gemara explains the reason is because this price is going according to Rabbi Meir, that we don't say mechlal lav atashmeihein. Now the next words of the brisa are, the way we have it, is lachulin shaychalach is aser. If a person says lachulin, which implies that it should not be chulin what I eat from you, then it's aser. So the reason is because we imply when they say what I eat from you should not be chulin, that implies that rather it should be a carbon, and therefore it's a valid neder. Now the Ran is aimed that there's a very strong stira over here. It's from one line to the next line, the Brice is a stira. The first line of the Brice, the Gemara says, is Rabbi Meir that holds we don't say Mechlal Abat Hashemehein. And the next line of the Brice, when a person says, Lochulin Shoichalach, and that it's also has to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda that we do say Mechlal Avat Hashemehein. So it's really stira from one line to the next, and the Gemara does not even seem to comment about such a stira. So based on this question, the Ran is compelled to change the girsa. In his first mahalach, he just docks off this whole line. He says we're not kairis it. And in the second mahalach, he brings down a nusach from the Ravid that instead of saying lachulin, he says lachalin. Chalin lashon of chalas, which means the chalas toida, which is a form of kachim. And therefore, when I say lachalin shaychalach, that what I eat from you should have a din of chalis toida, which is kachim, that's why it's aser. Now, both gersois of the Ran are very big daichik. First of all, the Ran himself says that most nusachis that he has have this nusach. So just to say that it doesn't exist is a daichik. You have to change the whole gersa for most nusachis. And the second mahalach, which is to say that it's instead of lechulin, it's lachulin, like lechalin, like the Ravid says, it's somewhat of a doichik, because the rest of the brisa, the ratio, the sefer, everything's talking about chulin, chulin. And all of a sudden, here there's one line which is talking about chalin, which has nothing to do with chulin. What you have to say in the Ravid, l'chari, is that since chulin and chalin is similar, so the brisa is stuck in the din of chalin in the middle of the, when it's talking about chulin. But al-Khopanim it's a daichik, but the Ran is forced to say this daichik because the Ran cannot accept that there's a stira from one line to the next between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So that is the approach of the Ran that we're forced to change the girsa. Now the Taisis and the Pirush Rosh and our Sugya, they have a different approach than the Ran. They make a very slight change in the girsa to the Brisa. The way we have the Brisa in our girsa, and the Ran also had this girsa, the Brisa says, lachulin shoychulach osir. If a person says lachulin, what I eat from you is lachulin, which implies loichulin, then it's osir. They change that girsa. They change it to say loichulin shoychulach osir. In other words, the person, lehedya, says that what I don't eat, that what I eat from you should not be chulin, then it's aser. And they contrast that to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, lachulin shaychalach. And the Gemara there, that's when the Gemara says that lachulin, if a person says lachulin shaychalach, which implies loichulin, what I eat from you is not chulin, then the Gemara says that according to your mayor that holds that we don't say mechlal lava tishameihing, so when you say lachulin, we don't see that it's as if it's a carbon. However, if a person said explicitly loichulin mashaychalach, that what I eat from you is loichulin, it's not chulin, then they say, even Rabbi Meir is Meider, Meir agrees that has nothing to do with Mechlal Lava Tishmehein, and he agrees that if I said that what I eat from you is a carbon, and it'll be Aser. Now, we have to understand the Svara in Taisis. Why is it that when I say Loichulin, then Rabbi Meir is Meider? Loichulin, this that it implies carbon. Why according to Taisis and the Rosh, does it not depend on Mechlal Lava Tishmehein? I didn't say carbon, I said Loichulin. So why is it that Rabbi Meir agrees that it's as if I said carbon, and that only if I say Lachulin, then he says it's not a carbon? Now I saw Rabbi Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo explains, he assumes for Pashtus like Taisis, And he says, he even asks this as a kasha on the Ran. He says, what'll be if, let's say, a person says that this food should be the opposite of kosher? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, isn't that like saying it's treif? I didn't say just that it's it's not like I didn't address whether it's kosher or not. I said it's like kosher. It's not kosher. So why isn't that another way of saying treif? So according to that, he says, if a person says loy chulin, if a person says this thing is not chulin, so he explicitly said this thing is not chulin. That's another way of saying carbon, because the opposite of chulin is a carbon. So therefore, he says that Rabbi Meir agrees, even if you hold mechlal lav yatashmehein, you can't say mechlal lav, you can't infer from one side to the other side, but over here, loy chulin is a way of explicitly saying that it's a carbon. So therefore, if I explicitly say it, then Rabbi Meir argues. However, it's only in the Mishnah when they didn't say loichulin. I didn't say it's loichulin. I said a word of lachulin, which is a word that's in between. It's not a very clear word, lachulin. So then just like Rabbi Meir says that when you say mechlal lav, when you say one side, we can't hear the other side. So who then, when I say lachulin, we cannot define that what we're saying is that it's loichulin. We don't define that necessarily lies in your words, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, that would not be a lashon of a nether. What comes out from our Gemara is that our Mishnah is subject to the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether we say Mechlal Lav Atashmehein. The question is, do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or do we paskin like Rabbi Meir? So there are two conflicting sugyas regarding this question. On the one hand, in our sugya, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah says, if someone says lachulin shaychalach, he's aser, and the Gemara says that only works according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Meir, there's no implication of carbon, and therefore would not be aser. So we have a Stam Mishnah that says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. However, conversely, there's a Gemara in Maseches Gittin, Daf Ayin Heyom and Beis. The Gemara says, askin Shmuel begita the shchiv marash, that they should write im loy meisi lo yehei get v'meisi yehei get. Shmuel made a takana. He made the nusach of a get, that of a shchiv marash, that it should only be on the tzad, on both stadim. In other words, that a person should speak out both stadim, and that, of course, is like Rabbi Meir, that holds we don't say mechlal lav atashmehein. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you say mechlal lav atashmehein, there would be no problem with saying it may see hey get, that we'd understand him like may see lay hey get. So therefore, that Gemara of Shmuel, we seemingly see from Shmuel that we paskin like Rabbi Meir, that we do not say mechlal lav atashmehein. So those are the two Gemaras the Rishonim are done with when they try to determine what is the halacha l'maisa. Now the Ran in our sugya says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and like the Stam Mishnah, our Stam Mishnah. And the Ran explains, what about the Gemara in the Seches Gittin? Why does Shmuel say that a person should write both stadim, he should write imesi im loimesi? Since we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, what's the point of saying both l'shainas? So the Ran says, the reason why Shmuel says to say both Lashinus in Mesi and Lois Mesi is not because he paskins like Rabbi Meir Lahalach in a definitive manner. Rather, the reason is because we're afraid of a Beis Din Tayyim. They think the Halach is like Rabbi Meir. So if they get such a get that says in Mesi Yehe Get, since they assume that Allah is like Rabbi Meir, they will say that even if the person does not die, since we don't say Mikhlal Lav Atashamehain, so then the get is valid regardless of whether the person actually dies. And therefore they'll come to matter in Isha Lashuk. That's why Shmuel was Masakin Alashin, Shmuel instituted Alashin that works according to all opinions, even according to Meir, and that way no one will come to make a mistake. So that's the opinion of the Ran, and other Rishonim also would like the Ran, the Ramban, the Ritva, they all paskin l'halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Rosh in Maseches Gittin paskins like Rabbi Meir, because he says that why else would Shmuel make a takana to say emesi v'mloy emesi? And he says, don't tell me that Shmuel did it because he wants that the get should be valid according to all opinions, even according to Meir, because his lashon is, if you do that, nafik minei chorba. This can cause terrible destruction. In other words, people will see such a get. They'll see that the nusach that Beis Din uses for a get is emesi and imloy emesi. They'll see that Beis Din uses it at tnai kafel. They will think the reason for that is because we paskin like Rabbi Meir, and since we don't really paskin like Rabbi Meir, let's say someone actually writes a get and that says emesi yehe get, then they will come to say that since we paskin like Rabbi Meir, then even if the person doesn't die, it's still a valid get, and therefore again they will come to matter in Isha Lashuk. So therefore the Rosh says it must be that when Shmuel was Masakin, he instituted the Lashon of a get as being a Masi, Imloy Masi, the only reason could possibly be because Shmuel really holds l'halacha, that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, and you require a Tanai Kafel, and that's the way he paskins, that l'halacha l'maisa, that even though we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, since we have a Psak from Shmuel who was an Amira, we go with the Psak of Shmuel, and we paskin l'halacha like Rabbi Meir. That is the opinion of the Rosh in Maseches Gittin. Another Rishon who discusses the halacha in our sukkah is the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Nedarim, and at the first glance it seems like there's a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam in Halacha Yud Ches writes that if someone says, Kol ma she'oichel imcha lo yehei chulin, anything I eat from you should not be chulin, the Rambam says about such a person that it's as if he said that kol ma she'oichel imcha yeh karbon, which is aser. The Rambam says that saying to someone that what I eat from you is not chulin is the equivalent of saying it's a karbon, and therefore it's a valid neder. And pashtus, that means to say the Rambam is paskining like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. And he paskins that we say that michlal lav atushmeyehain, and saying loy chulin is like saying karbon. However, two halachas later, in halacha chaf, the Rambam says that if a person says, chulin shaloi oichalach, that what I don't eat from you is chulin, that's mutter. So b'pshutai, that would seem to indicate that he's passing like Rabbi Meir, because if a person says that what I don't eat from you is chulin, there's an implication that what I do eat from you is kachim, an afal pikein. The Rambam says it's mutter. So over here, he seems to be paskening like Rabbi Meir. So the question is, the Rishonim ask that it's a stira. The one from Halacha Yirches, he seems to pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, and Halacha Chaf, he seems to pasken like Rabbi Meir. So the Ravid asks this question of the Rambam. The Lashon of the Ravid is, Zeh ha-mechaber mezakeh shtara lebeit rehu. This mechaber, meaning the Rambam, seems to vindicate both opinions. Over there, he paskins like the Chumim, that hold that Mechlal Ava Tishmehein. And whereas over here, he's paskining like Rabbi Meir, that holds, you don't say Mechlal Ava Tishmehein. That is the Ravid's Kasha, and the Ravid ends off with the second question. He says that he doesn't understand the Halacha in Yuchas. How could he possibly paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? We know the Halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that says you need a Tanai Kafel. Those are the Ravid's questions on the Rambam. So, to answer the Ravid's Kasha, there's a very simple Mahalach, which actually the Radvaz if you know it on the Rambam and the Mishnah Malach, they answer this on the Rambam. They hold that the Rambam holds, like the Rosh and like Tosis, that we said that a person says, Loi Chulin, Rav Meir also agrees that you don't need a Tanai Kavul. And like we said, the Hezber from Mishlamez Alman, that Loi Chulin is another way of saying carbon. It's not Michla Lava Tishmein. It's not because it's not Chulin, therefore we're going to be Medayik, we're going to infer that I'm saying carbon. Rather, the Loi Chulin, like the Mishlamez Alman said, it's like saying something is Loi Kosher, which is a way of saying it's treif. So over here too, when a person says Loi Chulin, that is a carbon. So it comes out that the Rambam's, there's no steer at all. Both in Halacha Yud Ches and in Halacha Chof, the Rambam is passing like Rav Meir that we do not say Mechlal Lava Tishmehein. However, and the reason why in Halacha Yud Ches, when a person says that Kol Masha Eichlum Chol is Lo Yehei Chulin, everything I eat from you should not be Chulin, the reason the Rambam says that's a valid Lashon for Neder is because of this Cheshvan of the Rosh, that it's as if the word Loi Chulin is another way of saying carbon. That is the way the Mefarshim answer the Ravid's question. But I want to point out that the Ravid over here, Lishitasai, would not agree to this answer. He doesn't hold of this chiluk between Loi Chulin and Lachulin. He did not learn the sugya like this, because we had over in the sugya that the Ran asks on the Braisa, the passings like Rav Meir, that Michlalav, you don't say Michlalav Atashemehain. So that Braisa brought a case of Loi Chulin Loi Oichalach. And the Braisa says, if someone says Loi Chulin Loi Oichalach, then that's a Lashon of that's a valid Lashon. It's also, it's a valid Neder. So the Ran, because of this Kasha, had no Eitzah other than either to say we take out that case, or he says you could say like the Ravid. The Ravid says changes the Girsa from Loi Chulin to L'Chalin. In other words, meaning that it's talking about Chalas Toida. So what we see is that the Ravid did not hold like these other Rishonim, like the Rosh and the Toisa. They said that over there the Bryce is talking about Loi Chulin. But you see, the Ravid did not learn like the Toisa and the Rosh, and therefore it's very understandable why he did not have any mahalach in the Rambam, because he does not hold of this chilik between Loi Chulin and Lachulin. Just one final point I wanted to discuss in the sugya of Tanai Kofel, and that is, how does the Rambam paskin in Tanai Kofel? Does he paskin like Rabbi Meir that we don't say Mechlal Avat Hashemehain and you require a Tanai Kofel? Or does he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that we do say Mechlal Avat Hashemehain, and as long as a person speaks out what should happen one side of the Tanai, we can infer the other side of the Tanai? So we saw the Ravid over here says, one of his questions on the Rambam is that Ha'kaim along Rav Meir, we paskin like Rav Meir. Now there was pasha to the Ravid that the Halacha is like Rav Meir. So on what basis does the Ravid hold like that? So now if we look in the Shitas Rambam, we find that there's somewhat of a stira in the opinion of the Rambam. In Perek Vav, Hilchas Ishos, Halacha Beis, the Rambam brings down the following statement: Kol Tanai Shabaylam. Any time a person makes a Tanai, bein b'kedushin, bein b'gittin, bein b'mekach v'memkar, bein b'shar medinei mamnes, any sort of transaction between one person and another person, tzarech liyos b'tanai dal dvarim. A person, there are four conditions to creating a valid Tanai, and one of the conditions Rambam goes on to say is that it has to be a Tanai kafel. So it seems to be, in fact, it's quite clear that Rabbi Meir, that Rambam paskins like Rabbi Meir, that a person requires a Tanai Kofel in order to make a valid Tanai. However, there's another Rambam. The Gemara, in our Gemara, when it wants to indicate, to draw on a source to say that Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Meir, and he holds Michlal Lava Tashmehein, in other words, you don't need a Tanai Kofel, so the Gemara proves it from a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin, and the Mishnah is referring to the case where a person is divorcing his wife because he thinks she's an idoloness, and the case is that he said that I'm being megarish you because you're an idoloness. So Rabbi Yehuda says lo yachzor ilamis. He's never allowed to remarry her. And like we spoke out earlier, the reason is because he holds that we don't need a Tanai Kofel. And therefore, when he says just that I'm being megashu because you're an islandist, that implies that if you're not an islandist, I am not being megarish you. And that could lead to troubles if she's discovered not to be an islandess. Whereas the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, since you require a Tanai Kafel, there's no such problem. So that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to prevent this problem, we say that Layachsu Elamis, he can never remarry her. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, that it would be okay to remarry her, because there's no problem that could come if he says, if he's megarish and says that I'm doing it because you're an islandess. That is the Gemara in Maseches Gittin. And based on that, our Gemara said that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that we say Michlal Lav Ata Shemei Hein. So the difficulty is that the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Beis, discusses this case, and he says, Lo Yachzor Elamis. A person is Megarish because he thinks his wife is an islandess, he's never allowed to retake her as a wife. So that is exactly Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. And that's exactly what the Magen Mishnah over there says, that the reason the Rambam says that he can never remarry her is because he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So it comes out, really, that our Gemara that brought two Mishnayis, one as a source for Rabbi Meir, and one as a source for Rabbi Yehuda, the Rambam is paskining like both of these Mishnayis. He's paskining, as far as a Tanai goes, Hilchos Tanayim, he says, like Rabbi Meir, that kol tanai she'ena b'nai god v'nai rube v'ein ena tanai, and that you need a tanai kafel. That's exactly the Gemara, our Gemara attributes to Rabbi Meir. And on the converse side, he paskins exactly like the Mishnah in Rabbi Yehuda, that a person, we do say mechlal la avata shemehen. So it seems to be a stira in the Rambams, does he paskin like Rabbi Meir, or does he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? To answer this stira, there's a third Rambam that really sheds light on this seeming stira. The Rambam in Hilchas Ishas Perek Vav Halacha Tezvav says that when do we say that a person needs the dinei tanaim, he needs a tanai kafel? That is only when a person makes a tanai that will happen after a time. For example, a person says to a woman, if he gives her something worth a pruta, and he says, if you'll give me $200, then at that point, you should be mekudeshes to me. So for a tanai la'acher zman, when the tanai affects the kinyan, that's later, it happens at a later time, that is when we say that you need these dinei tanaim, you need a tanai kafel, and all the other dinei tanaim. However, the Rambam says that if, let's say, a person gives an isha something worth a pruta, and says, if you'll give me $200, then from this point now, it should be a kedushin. So in other words, he does a ma'aseh kedushin, and he says that he puts in a condition that she must do some other action, such as give him some money later, and then in order for the kedushin to be retroactively in effect. So then the Rambam says you do not require a tanai kafel. Now really the Rishonim say bring this yisoid down from the Goinim, that the only time we learn from Tanai Bnei God and Bnei Ruvain is only on a Tanai which is similar to Bnei God and Bnei Ruvain, which will happen after time. For example, in the case of Bnei God and Bnei Ruvain, Moshe Benu said that if they were to fulfill their condition, then you should give them the land of Sichon and Oig. Whereas, if they don't fulfill their condition, then they should inherit with you in the land of Canaan. Only in that case, we require Tanoi Bnei God Bnei Ruvain. However, if someone says that Me'achshav, someone does a chalois, he does a transaction, and he says the transaction should occur right now, then we don't learn from Bnei God Bnei Ruvain, and therefore a person doesn't need a Tanai Kafel in such a case. So based on this, we could really understand why it is that in Hilchos Gerushin, the Rambam paskins that someone who divorces his wife because he thinks she's an islandess, there he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, because since the divorce has happened, is effective immediately, so therefore we do not require Tanai Bnei God Bnei Ruvain. And so even though Rabbi Meir himself holds that even a Tanai of Me'ashav, even a Tanai which happens now, you need a Tanai Kofel, but the Rambam did not paskin like Rabbi Meir regarding that. In that case, the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that a person does not need a Tanai Kofel. Whereas in the case of when the Rambam says that all Tanayim need to be the four things, and even a Tanai Kafel, there the Rambam is going where the Tanai happens later on, where the Chalais, whether the transaction the person is making is going to actually materialize later on, and that's why the Rambam says that a person needs a Tanai Kafel. So that answers up the Rambam's. What only remains schwer, what remains difficult, is the Rambam and our Sugya. We said that the Rambam paskins in our Sugya, like Rabbi Meir, that you need a Tanai Kafel. The difficulty with that is that our sugya is talking about a person made a neder. He said, "Loi chulin shaychemcha. What I eat from you is should not be chulin. Rather, with an inference, it should be a carbon." And yet, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Meir that you need a tanai kafel. The question is, how does this conform with the Rambam shita about tanai kafel? Now, Stipler in Kilos Yaakov has a very fundamental explanation of this Rambam, which he bases on the Ramban. And he explains what is the underlying difference between whether a person makes a transaction that should be effective immediately, or he makes a transaction that should be effective later on when the condition is fulfilled. Why is it that if he makes a transaction that's effective immediately, then we say he does not require Hilchos Tanayim. Whereas if he makes a transaction that should take place later, then we say he needs a Tanai Kafel and all the halachas of Tanayim. Why is there such a difference? What he means to ask is that even though we're saying we could learn from that the Tanai Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain happened to be that happened later on, but why is that a significant matter that happened later on? If there's no svara, if there's no reason to make a distinction between a transaction that happens immediately or a transaction that's delayed and happens later, then why is it that we understand that there's such a distinction? So the way this Stipler explains, like we said, based on the Ramban, is that when a person makes a tnai for later, for example, let's say a person gives a woman a ring, and he says that at the time that you give me 200 zuz, then at that point you should be mekudeshes to me. So the person never yet did an act of kedushin. At the time of the giving of the ring, there was never an act of kedushin. The tanai he's saying, his words are saying, is that if you'll fulfill a certain condition, then you're going to be able to create an act of kedushin. So it comes out that the condition, the tanai he's making, is creating a transaction. It's creating a chalais. That is when we say that there are strict rules that govern when how a tanai can work. However, conversely, if a person, let's say, gives a woman a ring and he says, you're mekudeshes to me now, based on this act that I'm doing now, as long as you do fulfill a condition later on. So in that case, he actually, when he gave the ring, he actually did a maisa kedushin. The point of the tanai is not to create a maisa kedushin. The point of the tanai is she doesn't fulfill it, it's to destroy this maisa kedushin. In that case, the Torah is not as strict, and we do not say that a person requires all the conditions that regulate a tanai. That is the explanation the Stipler brings from the Ramban to explain this distinction between making a chalais that is effective immediately and making a chalais that is effective at some later point. Based on this, the Stipler says, now we could really understand our Gemara in Nedarim. The Rambam paskins, in our sugya, like Reb Meir, the Rambam paskins that if a person comes to make a neder, we do not say Michla Lava to Shemehain. The Stipler explains, because when a person says that it's coming to make a neder now, and he makes the neder on Tanai, there's no act that already has the power to affect a chalais. He's creating now. At this point, when he's coming to make his neder, he's coming to create something. When you're coming to create something, then you have the full dinei tanoim. That's why Rambam paskins over here, like Rav Meir, that you don't say michlalav at the shmehein by someone who's coming to create a neder.
You have been listening to the shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.